الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، after praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we embark upon the next stage as it relates to benefits from Ibn Qayyim's explanation of Surah Al-Fatiha, which is a collection of many of his books, as we mentioned yesterday. What did we study with regards to Surah Al-Fatiha? What did we study yesterday as it relates to Surah Al-Fatiha? Is Surah Al-Fatiha Mekki or is Surah Al-Fatiha Madaniyah? Surah Al-Fatiha is Makkiya. It's a Makki surah. And what does Makki surah mean? What does a Makki surah mean? A Makki surah means it was revealed in Mecca. Sahih, Khwan? Huh? No. Makkiya. Naam. Makkiya surah is before the Hijra, even if it was revealed in Medina. It's still Makkiya if it's before the Hijra. And Madaniyah, after the Hijrah. So what's the proof that Surah Al-Fatiha is Makkiyah? Because the ulama differed. The ayah in Surah Hijr, which is? وَلَقَدْ أَتَيْنَا نَعْمْ. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that He said that verily we have given you the Sabah Mathani, the seven oft repeated verses, and the great Qur'an. This verse or this surah, Surah Al-Hijr, was revealed where? Or when? Before the Hijrah. So it's a Makki surah. So therefore, Surah Al-Fatiha is what?
Makkiya.
Okay. And then we mentioned some names of Surah Al-Fatiha. What are the names of Surah Al-Fatiha? Al-Fatiha. And what's the reason why it's called Surah Al-Fatiha? Because we open the salah with Surah Al-Fatiha. What else? It's the first surah in the Quran. So Surah Al-Fatiha is called Fatiha. Another name for Surah Al-Fatiha? Ar-Ruqya. The name of Surah Al-Fatiha, another name is Ar-Ruqya. And where's this taken from? Now, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ أَنَّهَا رُقِيَةٌ. In the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, رضي الله تعالى عنه, where the Prophet ﷺ said, what will make you know that it is a ruqya, ayya Surah Al-Fatiha, when it was used to cure an illness, which we'll touch on this hadith later on, inshallah. Now. It's in Sahih Muslim, from what I remember. Musnad Imam Ahmad and Bukhari, Musnad Imam Ahmad and Bukhari. Jazakallah khair. Other names for Surah Al-Fatiha. Umul Quran and Umul Kitab. This is a khilaf between ulama. I didn't mention this yesterday, but the ulama have differed in this. But the correct opinion is that one of the names of Surah Al-Fatiha is Umul Quran, and Umul Kitab. And when we say what does that mean? The foundation of something. The foundation Umul Shay, the Aslul Shay, the foundation of something. And Imam Baghawi, what did he do in some of his works? Imam al-Baghawi, what did he do in some of his works?
No. He opened one of his books with the hadith of Jibril, and he says, Umma Sunnah,
naam. He opened his Masabih, it's a book of hadith, and also Sharh Sunnah. He opened it, it's a book of hadith and fiqh. He opened it with the hadith of what?
Jibril.
As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the Quran with what? Fatiha. So Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned that the hadith of Jibreel is Sunnah, like Surah Al-Fatiha is Al-Quran. And the reason why the hadith of Jibreel is Sunnah is because it comprises in summary that which is in the Sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So likewise Surah Al-Fatiha again comprises that generally what that which is contained in the book of Allah, the kalam of Allah, the Quran in general. Naam. Another name for Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Naam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. That's from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another one. Alhamd. Naam. It's called Alhamd. And which hadith is mentioned in regards to Surah Al-Fatiha being named Alhamd? We know it begins with Alhamd, and some ulama have used that as the reason why it's called Alhamd, but we also have a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ where Alhamd was mentioned as Surah Al-Fatiha. Naam. Naam, the hadith of Tirmidhi. Naam, the hadith of Tirmidhi where the Prophet ﷺ says, لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بل Hamd. There's no prayer, yani valid prayer, for the one who does not read Alhamd, read Surah Al-Fatiha. And the hadith continues. Naam, another name for Surah Al-Fatiha. Sab'a Mathani. And that's from the first hadith, the verse in Surah Al-Hijr is a proof of that as well. Sab'a Mathani. And the hadith of Abu Sa'id Ibn Mu'alla radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when the Prophet ﷺ said, وَعَلَيْوَنَّكَ أَعْذَمُ سُورَةٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ قَبْلَ أَنْ تَخْرُجَ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ, where the Prophet ﷺ said to sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, said to Abu Sa'id, I'll teach you the greatest surah in the Quran before you leave the masjid. And he mentioned Surah Al-Fatiha, which was Sab'a Mathani. So Sab'a Mathani, which means oft repeated verse, is the name or one of the names of Surah Al-Fatiha. And what did Mujahid say is the meaning here of Sab'a Mathani? What did Mujahid say was the meaning of Sab'a Mathani? Akhwan, the reason why we're going through this Surah Al-Fatiha is because it's a surah that we recite every salah. And in order for us to effectively benefit from this surah when we pray, and when we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to understand this surah. So this is why we're studying this, for myself and for my brothers, so we can get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and enjoy the salah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Bilal, arihna bis salah, give us comfort and sakina and tranquility with salah, so we can reach this level where we have such khushu' and concentration and understanding and feeling of the Quran, a Surah Al-Fatiha when it's recited. So that's why we're studying this, Ikhwan. So, naam, the answer?
Mujahid said? Sab'a Mathani, Allah preserved this surah for this ummah.
Naam, that Sab'a Mathani means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it specific for this ummah, preserved it from other nations for this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's a virtue of this ummah. Naam. After that, we went and mentioned the what did Ibn Qayyim say about names? Something that has names. Something with a lot of names. Did he say anything regarding this? Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala? Fadl. No, kathratul asma yadul ala adami al-musamma. that something which has been given a lot of names indicates its importance and its greatness and its loftiness. So the Surah Al-Fatiha has many names because of its station in Islam, station in, as relates to the Quran, as the Prophet said, is the best surah in the Quran. Naam. And after that, we mentioned some benefits from Ibn Qayyim. The first benefit, where he said that in Surah Al-Fatiha, there are two strengths. In Surah Al-Fatiha, there are two strengths. The first strength is what? Quwwatu Ilmiya, which is the knowledge-based strength. And what does that mean? To know Allah's names and His attributes. And this is taken from which part in Surah Al-Fatiha? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawmuddin, and Malik Yawmuddin in another qira'ah. Okay, so from here we learn from these first few verses of the loftiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and how perfect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names are and His attributes. And this is known, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His names and attributes. This is the Quwwat al-Ilmiya. And Quwwat al-Amaliya, I'm repeating this because yesterday was a bit intricate, so that's why I'm spending more time with this. Naam. Quwwat al-Amaliya is what? Naam. The Quwwat al-Amaliya is uluhiyya, your intent and your actions. Qasr wa talab, naam. As relates to worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is expressed in Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, which is what we're going to deal with today, inshallah ta'ala. Okay? We said also regards to the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alhamd. What does this prove? What evidences did we take from this statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alhamd? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Alhamd, what does that mean? Naam. Not only him, but other than Shaykh al-Islam and other than him, rahimahu ta'ala, they said that the alif wal lam, alhamd, is al-istighraqiyya. Al-istighraqiyya, which is an encompassing al. It's a definite. Al is definite in linguistic terms. It means definite, okay, but it's encompassing, meaning incorporates everything. Any indefinite hamd. Not unlimited praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamd, meaning unlimited praise, is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does that indicate? That if all praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indefinite praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does this show? That He should be worshipped alone, but something else as well. That He's the Creator. I need more. He's one worthy of praise. Naam, He's worthy of praise. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of praise. Why?
He has the best attributes and
Naam, because He has the perfect attributes and names and attributes. And the more perfect the names of attributes, the more praise that's deserved. Which is why the Prophet ﷺ says, I cannot sufficiently praise you to that which you deserve. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah's names and attributes are perfect, 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 which means that the praise is unlimited. Which is why we cannot ever give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfill the praise that He subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves. So in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alhamd, it's a refutation against who? Number one, Jahmiyyah. Naam. It's a refutation against the Jahmiyyah who do what? Or believe what? That negates Allah's names and attributes. And Alhamd is also a refutation against who? The Mu'tazila. Who negate what?
The attributes.
They negate the attributes and they affirm the names. We also mention in this regard that the names, because according to the Aqidah of the Mu'tazila, that the name is sufficient and it has no meaning. Yeah. And we expressed that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, regards to the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must remember three things, three different types of proofs. Do you remember these? Naam, what was the first one? The first one is mutabaqa. Naam, mutabaqa, which is what? Conforming totally. For example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? As-sami', it means it's mutabaqa to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fi dhatihi, to the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Totally, okay? And the second way of proof is what? At-tadammun. And at-tadammun means what in English? Comprising. It means what? Comprising. Which means that when we say Allah is as-sami', the all-hearing, it comprises a meaning. And that is the meaning of what? Hearing, his sifat of hearing, his attribute of hearing. And the third one is talazum, which is a prerequisite or necessities, meaning that the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as-sami', necessitates what? That he's alive, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he's alive, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that the name of Allah contains what? One or all three? Name of Allah.
All of them.
It comprises what? All of them. Mutabaqa. Conformance directly to the that of Allah, to the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Comprising of all of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a prerequisite, necessitates all the perfect names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is why Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that the name of Allah, all of the names and attributes go back to the name Allah. Walillahi al-asma al-husna. And for Allah is al-asma al-husna, yani all the other names as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name Allah is that name which all the other names go back to, and we say that Ar-Rahman is from the names of Allah, and we don't say Allah is a name, one of the names of Ar-Rahman in regard to that. Now, and then we mentioned the difference between Ar-Rab and not necessarily the difference between Rab and Allah, but we mentioned the relation as it relates to Ar-Rab and the name Ar-Rab and the name Allah. What did we say was that? Ar-Rab is Rububiyyah, excellent. Huh? Allah is all free. Mumtaz. So when we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Rab means what here? Uluhiyyah or Rububiyyah?
Rububiyyah.
It means what? Rububiyyah. Why does it mean Rububiyyah? Meaning that it's in the same sequence as Allah's name. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So here, Rab means Rububiyyah. And Alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah, the one that deserves to be worshipped. Because he's the Lord of the Alameen. So he deserves to be worshipped. So that is the proof of Rububiyyah to establish Al-Uluhiyyah. Okay. So when we're questioned in the grave, in the fitnat of the grave, which we all will experience, what are we questioned on? The first question is what? Who's your Lord? Man Rabbuk, yahamkullah. Man Rabbuk. So what does this one here, what does Rabb here mean? Ahsant. Who's the Lord? The one that you worship alone. Because Rabb is mentioned on its own. When they're in the same sequence, the meaning changes. And when they're on their own, then it changes. But as we know, the name Allah encompasses what? All. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman. And what did he say about the form, linguistic form of Ar-Rahman? The linguistic form of Ar-Rahman, ala wazan ish? Fa'lan. Ar-Rahman, ala wazan? Fa'lan. Now, when something's in the wazan, what I mean wazan in the linguistic form of fa'lan, it means what? Indicates what? Vast, abundance. So, for example, atshan means what? Very, very, I'm parched. I'm very, very what? Thirsty. Jaw'an. I'm very, very hungry. Some people say I'm Marvin. Okay, I'm very, very hungry. Okay, ta'ban, worn out. Yeah, ta'ban exhausted is not pure Arabic, yani. It's mutab. But ta'ban here means what? No, it's worn out. When something's worn out. When something's what? Worn out. Nadman. Nadman what? Means what? Nadman is from regretful. Nadman means what? Huh? Very regretful. So therefore, Ar-Rahman means what? Abundance in mercy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has abundance of mercy. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is why Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala didn't mention this yesterday, but he also mentioned it in this explanation. He said, which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the same sequence the arsh, or it is Allah rising above the throne, Allah rising above the awsa shaykh, Allah rising above the most, the biggest thing, with the most abundant, one of his most abundant names, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ar-Rahmanu alal arsh istawa. Because the arsh encompasses the earth, right? So Ar-Rahmanu alal arsh istawa. So it's befitting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use the most merciful rose above his throne, using the name Ar-Rahman with the throne, because of the capacity of the throne and also the abundance of Rahmah in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman. Naam. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. Now going to go regards to Ibn Qayyim's رحمه الله تعالى statement of explanation of the statement of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. To you we worship alone, and to you we seek assistance alone and aid. And this is taken the majority of this is taken from Ibn Qayyim's Madarij al-Salikin. Ibn Qayyim's book, Madarij al-Salikin. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, so you can put a heading, Al-Ibadah wal-Isti'ana fi Surat al-Fatiha. Worship and seeking assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surat al-Fatiha. Worshipping and seeking assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surat al-Fatiha. He said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that al-ibadah tajma aslain. Al-ibadah tajma aslain. He said that worship encompasses two things. Worship encompasses or joins together two things, two principles. Ghayat al-hub, first is ghayat al-hub. Naam, bi ghayat al-dhil wal-khudu'. Ghayat al-hub, bi ghayat al-dhil wal-khudu'. And that is extreme love. And extreme love. Worship incorporates two principles. The first is extreme love. Extreme love. بغاية الذل والخضوع. And extreme humility. Extreme humility. A for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentioned that al-isti'ana, a seeking assistance, also tajma'a aslain, also joins two principles or incorporates two principles. The first principle is athiqa billah, having trust in Allah. Having trust in Allah. Athiqa tu billah, having trust in Allah, number one. And the second principle is wal i'timadu alayh, and relying upon Allah. Having trust in Allah and relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, and we're going to go through this from Madarij al-Salikin. And then he mentions rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the statement iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has combined worship and trusting in Allah. Worship and trusting in Allah. And like we mentioned before, that in Surah Al-Fatiha is called Ummul Qur'an. So therefore, Ibn Qayyim shows that throughout the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala joins worship and tawakkul together. Just like Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. And one of those examples of this is Na'am. Is in Na'am, Surah Al-Hud. Is in Surah Hud, verse 123, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ غَيْبُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَإِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُ الْأَمْرُ كُلُّهُ فَاعْبُدُهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the part in the verse that we want to talk about in Surah Hud, verse 123, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاعْبُدُهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, worship Him and trust and rely upon Him. Just like إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And this is an example. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala joining ibadah with isti'ana. Ibadah with al-isti'ana. And then Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, we'll get back to Madaj al-Salikin in a second inshallah. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions a benefit, he says, and you can put this in the title, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatiha mention ibadah first and then mention isti'ana? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatiha mention ibadah in Iyaka na'bud first and then mention isti'ana in Iyaka nasta'in? He said, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions six reasons. The first of those he mentioned is that because he said, تقديم العبادة على الاستعانة في الفاتحة من باب تقديم الغايات على الوسائل. And he said that putting or mentioning al-ibadah first before seeking assistance or isti'ana is putting the ends before the means. It's putting the end before the means. The end is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the means to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by seeking aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here it's the bab al taqdim al ghayat ala al wasail, putting the end before the what? Means. Before the means. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. And he said also that iyaka na'budu is related to the uluhiyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's befitting that comes first. That iyaka na'budu relates, yani to you we worship alone, relates to the uluhiyya, the servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the deity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ay tawheed al-ibadah, tawheed al-ibadah, the tawheed of worship. It's befitting that this comes first. And the other one, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, wa iyyaka nasta'in muta'alliq bi rububiyyatihi. And to you that we seek aid is connected to the rububiyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, this here where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the uluhiyya first by mentioning ibadah, mentioning the servitude and worship first, and then mentioning the isti'ana, which is related to rububiyya. He said, this is just like what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, where he mentioned the name of Allah first, and then he mentioned the name Rabb. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned uluhiyya first in Alhamdulillah, and then Rabb. So likewise, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Tawheed al-Ibadah al-Uluhiyya first in Iyaka Na'bud, and then mentions Rububiyya in Iyaka Nasta'in. Naam. So that's one and two. Number three, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, and also Iyaka Na'bud is for Allah. We worship Allah. It's servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason that we were created, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, with no partners, with tawheed. This is why this is mentioned first. And the second one is Iyyaka nasta'in. This is for the slave. This is for who? The slave. Like in the hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَسَمْتُ salat بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِسْفَيْن. That I have divided the salah. Walaykum salam. I've divided the salah, Surah Al-Fatiha, between me and my slave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, between him and his slaves, into two. وَلِّ عَبْدِ مَا سَأَلْ. And for my slave is that which he asks. So the first one, so in the hadith, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. The first one, the first few verses is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَيَّ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. This is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nisfain. So the first part is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his perfect attributes and his names. And Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in is between Allah and his slaves. And Iyaka na'bud is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa Iyaka nasta'in is for the abd, the ibad. So therefore it's befitting that the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned first, and the aid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to the ibad, which is related directly to the ibad, is mentioned secondly. Naam. And the fourth one that Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, he says, وَلِعَنَّ الْعِبَادَةِ لَا تَكُونِ إِلَّا مِنْ مُخْلِصٍ وَالْإِسْتِعَانَ تَكُونُ مِنْ مُخْلِصٍ وَمِنْ غَيْرِ مُخْلِصٍ. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, the reason why ibadah is mentioned first in Iyyaka na'budu here, why? Because ibadah is not going to come, yani ibadah, yani worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, is not going to come except from a mukhlis, except from one that is what? Sincere. But as for al-isti'ana, seeking assistance, it can come from somebody who's sincere and somebody who's not sincere, because they need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for the one who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Iyaka na'budu, here it means for you we worship alone. Iyaka na'budu, you we worship alone. Linguistically, Iyaka na'budu means La ilaha illallah. Linguistically here, it shows why, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Iyaka na'budu. So the maf'ul has been, Allah mentions the maf'ul first, the one that the action's been done to first, and then he mentions the verb. Okay? So you can say in English terms, Allah mentions the object first, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the verb, which is na'bud. And the normal sequence in the Arabic language is that the verb is mentioned first and then the object. The verb is mentioned first and then the object. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Iyaka, ayy, the object, na'budu, ayy, the verb, Allah put the object first to show that, and this is called hasr. This is called what? Hasr. Which means that none deserves to be worshipped except Allah. Whereas if you said, na'buduka, it means we worship you, but it could also mean worshipping others. But when you say Iyaka, when you put the object first, na'budu, it means khalis. We worship you alone with no partners. And this is in this is linguistic proof here. And this is from the balagha for, which is known as al-hasr. Which is known as what? Al-hasr, which means restricting. Yani restricting ibadah to only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Limiting ibadah to only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nobody else. So when we say, Iyaka na'budu, we mean la ilaha illallah. And that is why Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions here, he says that ibadah comes first. Ibadah comes first. Why? Because ibadah is done by the, ibadah here, yani Iyaka na'budu, sincere ibadah is done by the mukhlis, by the one that's sincere. But as for isti'ana, the one who is mukhlis can seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the one who's not mukhlis can seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's befitting that the one who seeks, who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ikhlas and sincerity is put ahead of others. That's number four. Number five. Naam. Number five, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, he says, وَلِيَانَ الْعِبَادَةِ حَقُّهُ الَّذِي أَوْجَبُهُ عَلَيْكَ وَالْإِسْتِعَانَ طَلَبُ الْعَوْنَ عَلَى الْعِبَادَةِ. And he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that ibadah come first in Iyaka na'budu, also because ibadah, worship, is that which is obligatory and is made obligatory upon the ibad. And it's from the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ibad, on the ibad. So that's why it's befitting for it to be mentioned first. But as for al-isti'ana, this is requesting aid, seeking aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to establish ibadah. To establish ibadah. So it's befitting that the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned first. It's befitting that the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned first. Naam. Repeat the last one? Okay, the last one basically, the fifth one, yeah. I'll mention five, that's enough, inshallah. Okay, the fifth one, we'll make it the last one so we don't go on. And the fifth one, Ibn Qayyim basically, he's saying that because ibadah, in Arabic, okay. وَلِيَنَ ibadah حَقُّهُ الَّذِي أَوْجَبُهُ عَلَيْكَ وَالْإِسْتِعَانَ طَالِبُ الْعَوْنِ عَلَى الْعِبَادَةِ رحمك الله. يعني العبادة حقه الذي أوجبه عليك والاستعانة طلب العون على العبادة. Now, the second point that we're going to mention in regard to Surah Al-Fatiha is the category of people, as it the categories of people as it relates to Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. The second thing we're going to talk about relating to Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in is the category or the categories of people as it relates to Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. Ay qala Ibn Qayyim aw buwiba aqsamun nasi bihasabi al-ibadati wal isti'ana. Categorizing people as it relates to worship and seeking aid. And he put the people into four categories. The first category, وَهُوَ قَالَ إِبْنُ قَيِّمْ رَحِمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى الْقِسْمُ الْأَوَّلُ أَجَلُّهَا وَأَفْضَلُهَا. Ibn Qayyim رَحِمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى said, the most lofty of those, the most virtuous of those is this category. وَهُمْ أَهْلُ الْعِبَادَةِ وَالْإِسْتِعَانَةَ بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. And he said, these are the people of ibadah and the people who seek assistance from Allah. This is the loftiest of people. This is the cream of the crop. The people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek assistance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentioned a statement from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, where he said, وَقَالَ شَيْخُ الْإِسْلَامِ ابْنُ تَيْمِيَةَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى تَعَمَّلْتُ عَنْفَ الدُّعَاءَ فَإِذَا هُوَ سُؤَالُ الْعَوْنِ عَلَى مَرْضَاتِهِ. He said, I was reflecting on the most beneficial dua, the most, Shaykh al-Islam is saying, Ibn Taymiyyah, I was reflecting on the most beneficial dua, and I found that the best dua is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to attain His pleasure. It's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with aid to attain His pleasure. Okay. قال شيخ الإسلام بن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى تعملت أنفع الدعاء فإذا هو السؤال العون على مرضاته يعني مرضات الله. And then he said ثم رأيته في الفاتحة. And then I found it in سورة الفاتحة في قوله إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. The best dua, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid you, to aid us in establishing His worship, Subhana. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, and Ibn Qayyim is narrating from Ibn Taymiyyah. This is after the death of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. Ibn Taymiyyah is saying that the most beneficial dua is seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the most loftiest of people and the highest level of people as relates to this are those people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second category of the people are the people who do not seek or turn away from ibadah, turn away from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and turn away from seeking assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's no ibadah for these individuals, there's no worship with this individual, and there's no seeking aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these individuals. But basically everything is based upon their desires. May Allah protect us from this. Everything is based upon their desires. As it comes, as it goes. As it comes, and as it goes. There's no seeking in assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's no ibadah, there's no worshipping of Ar-Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third category of people, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions his qawmun indahum naw'un min al-ibadah walakin la isti'ana. He said that people who have a relative worship, they have relative worship, but they don't have assistance. They don't seek assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't seek assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is like the Qadiriyya. This is like the Qadiriyya al-Jabariyya. This is like the Qadiriyya al-Jabariyya and the Qadiriyya al-Jabariyya who say that it doesn't matter what the slave does, everything's been written already. So they're saying here that basically we worship Allah, but we don't need to seek assistance because everything's been done already. There's nothing else we can do. There's nothing else we can do. And this is from the Aqidah al-Jabariyya. And in this point here, it shows that the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, is a refutation against the Qadiriyya al-Jabariyya. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions ibadah and also mentioned what? Isti'ana. Action and seeking aid. So this is a refutation against the Jabariyya. And he mentioned the third category of people are the people who worship Allah relatively, but they do not seek assistance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they have this aqidah, al-jabariyya, so they believe that everything's been done already, there's no point asking. And he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, the last category of people. And he said that, what do you think the last category of people are? The first category is who? They worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they seek isti'ana, aid in order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Second category? The opposite. The total? Opposite. They don't worship Allah and they don't seek aid from Allah. And the third category? They relatively worship Allah and they don't seek aid. So what do you think the fourth category is? Naam, they seek aid, but they don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'udhu billah. They seek aid and they don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? They want to fulfill their desires, but they don't want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't feel that they need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, he didn't give an example of a group, he gave an example of the people. The general people. Okay, but the third one we mentioned is related directly to the Jabariyyah. Naam. Huh? Yeah, they're seeking some type of aid. Yeah, some type of aid, not mutlaqa. Some type of aid, but it's not making them worship Allah. It's not making them pray. It's not making them worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They'll still do shirk. Okay, but they know that they have to ask Allah. But yet they're still worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So they're not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Like the one who says, may Allah guide us, we don't pray now. This is general people. He's talking about general people. He's talking here, Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, about general people. But the third category, when I mentioned the Jabariyyah, is because it suited us to mention this, because this is exactly what they believe. And it's a refutation against the Jabariyyah. Now, point number three. Okay? Reactualizing Iyaka Na'bud. Reactualizing Iyaka Na'bud. Reactualizing Iyaka Na'bud. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, if one understands what has passed with regards to Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, then he knows that Iyaka Na'bud is based upon, or is the perfection or the completion of Iyaka Na'bud is based upon two principles. Two great principles. The first of those is Mutabatu Rasuli sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is for complying to the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And the second is having ikhlas lil ma'bud. And the second is having sincerity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is reactualizing Iyaka Na'bud. It shows you how amazing this verse is. This is reactualizing Iyaka Na'bud, i.e. the conditions of an acceptance of a deed. The conditions of an acceptance of a deed. Now, the second one is ikhlas ibadah lillah. Yani ibadah lillah. Yani worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, sincerely. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, sincerely. And he said, this is the tahqiq of Iyaka Na'bud. And then Ibn Qayyim said, people are split into four categories regards to this. Again, this is from Madarij al-Salikin. Ibn Qayyim said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that people are divided into four different groups regarding fulfilling sincere worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also following the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The first of those people are Ahlul Ikhlas lil Ma'bud wa Mutaba'a. The first of those people are the people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity and also follow the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that Ha'ula Ahlu Iyaka Na'bud. He said these people are the people of Iyaka Na'bud. These are the real people of Iyaka Na'bud that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity and follow the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And then he mentions the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتُ وَالْحَيَاءُ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The one who created life and death in order to test who from you has the best deeds. And Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, هُوَ أَخْلَصُهُ وَأَصْوَابُهُ, i.e. those who have the most sincere deeds and those whose deeds are most in accordance to the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, generally. The second category of people, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, he says, man la ikhlasa lahu wa la mutaba'ah. لا إخلاص and no متابعة. The individual, the group of people who do not have sincerity and they do not follow the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. May Allah protect us from this. He says, وَلَهُ وَخَالِصًا لِلْمَعْبُودِ. And he's not sincere for the one that deserves to be worshipped alone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَأَعْمَالِ الْمُتَزَيِّنِينَ لِلنَّاسِ الْمُرَائِينَ لَهُمْ بِمَا لَمْ يَشْرَعُهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He said that the one who's not sincere for the ma'bud, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the individual who beautifies things or his actions for the people. He beautifies, listen carefully. He beautifies his action for the people. So the people can see him. So the people can see him doing something good. So he beautifies it. He makes it beautiful when it really isn't beautiful. He makes it beautiful, but with that which Allah and his messenger never legislated. That which is not from the Quran and that which is not from the Sunnah. So these individuals, not sincere, but what they try and do is beautify their actions so the people can see them as following the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, but they're not following the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he brought the proof of this from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَتَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ يَفْرَحُونَ بِمَا آتَوا وَيُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يُحْمَدُوا بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and do not think those who are pleased for the people to praise them for that which they didn't do. They are pleased for the people to praise them for that which they didn't do. A.e. they're beautifying it, showing a different picture so people can praise them, but they're not actually doing it. Do not think, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَتَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ يَفْرَحُونَ بِمَا أَتَوْا وَيْحِبُّونَ أَنْ يُحْمَدُوا بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا فَلَتَحْسَبَنَّهُمْ بِمَفَازَةٍ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, do not think that these individuals have been saved from the punishment. Do not be misled that these individuals who are beautifying things so people can praise them for something which they're not doing. Do not think that these individuals are saved from the hellfire. For them is deep punishment. And Ibn Qayyim said, يَفْرَحُونَ, they are pleased. يَفْرَحُونَ بِمَا أَتَوْ مِنَ الْبِدَعَ. He said that these individuals are happy and haughty and with that which they've brought with the bid'ah, and they've beautified the bid'ah. وَالضَّلَالَ وَالشِّرْكَ وَيُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يُحْمَدُوا بِاتِّبَاعِ السُنَّةِ وَالْإِخْلَاصِ. And they love that they are praised for following the sunnah, but yet what they're coming with is what, ikhwan? Bid'ah. This is the station and this is the sha'an and the way of the people of innovation. So when people say to you, that Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he done bid'ah. An individual said that. And somebody else once said to me, when he was trying to defend this individual's deviance, he said, وَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. Miskeen. So he brings كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ, beautifying it with the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. So an individual can believe that Uthman really did do bid'ah. Look at the talbis. This is how it is here. You want people to believe that you're following the sunnah strictly, you make ta'an on the sahaba. You make ta'an on the sahaba. You attribute bid'ah to Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Dhu Nurayn. Khairun nas qarni. The best of people are who? My generation. And who? Uthman is from which generation, ya ikhwan? The Sahaba. And you attribute bid'ah to this individual? You attribute bid'ah to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati khulafa ar-rashidin. Upon you is my sunnah and the sunnah of the khulafa. And Uthman is from the khulafa. So you here have said kullu bid'atin dalala to try and beautify the situation. I'm following the hadith, akhi. كل بدعة ضلال. كلمة الحق ويريد بها باطل. You're beautifying your speech so people can say you follow the sunnah when you're بعيد عن السنة. For speaking ill of the companions of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا تَسُبُّوا أَصْحَابِي. لَا تَسُبُّوا أَصْحَابِي. Do not speak ill and curse my companions. This is the sunnah, ya akhi. So don't be fooled. Like Awza'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, عَلَيْكَ بِآثَارِ السَّلَفِ وَإِنْ رَفَضَكَ النَّاسِ وَإِيَّاكَ بِعَرَّاءِ الرِّجَالِ وَإِنْ زَخْرَفَ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. Upon you, as Awza'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, upon you is the athar of the Salaf, the narrations of the Salaf, even if the people turn away from you. And beware of the opinions of man, even if it's beautified. Even if it's what? Beautified. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that the third category of individuals are those individuals who yafrahuna bima atau min al-bid'ah wal-dalala wal-shirk wa yuhibbuna an yuhmadu bi-ittiba'i sunnati wal-ikhlas. That these individuals that are happy and pleased and haughty with that which they come with bid'ah, beautifying it, deviance and shirk, and they want the people to praise them for following the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when in reality you're not following the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third category of people as it relates to ikhlas and mutaba'ah is the one that Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala says, man huwa mukhlisun fi amalihi lakinnaha ghayr ala ghayr mutaba'ah. He said that the one that is sincere in his actions, but he's not fulfilling the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he mentions this example as the general people, the awam, the general people who try and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but because of ignorance, they may fall short as it relates to mutaba'ah. And the fourth, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, man a'maluha la mutaba'ah walakinnaha li ghayrillah. May Allah protect us. He said, the third one, because man huwa mukhlisun fi amalihi walakinnaha ala ghayr mutaba'ati al-amr kal juhal al-ubbad. He said that those whose actions are sincere but it's in other than the mutaba'ah, the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like the ignorant general worshippers, worshippers who have no knowledge, al-muntasibina ila tariq al-zuhud wal-faqr. Those people who try and abstain from the dunya and so forth, and they're from the ignorant ones. Naam. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned the fourth category, and he said the category man a'maluhu ala mutaba'ati al-amr lakinnaha li ghayrillah kata'ati al-mura'in Naam. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said that the one whose actions are upon the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he's not doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's doing it for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following the sunnah, but he's doing it so people can see him. May Allah protect us from this and all of the negative aqsam here. And then Ibn Qayyim said that he should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Where he mentioned the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have not been commanded except to worship Allah, yani ibadah action, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, i.e. sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How are you feeling, Ikhwan? Should we continue? Huh? So which part are you talking about? Surah Ali Imran, verse 188. Ali Imran, verse 188. I've done 4 for both. Yeah. The first 4 we talked about was with regards to ibadah and isti'anah. Yeah? combining worship and seeking assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, four groups. And the other four groups are from those who follow, who do mutaba and are sincere in their mutaba, their relation as it relates to this. And there are four categories as well. Okay, we continue inshallah, and then I'll cut it short inshallah. We had a lot to do, but I don't want to burden my brothers. Fidhukumullah. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he then talks about the best ibadah, the most virtuous ibadah, the most virtuous ibadah. I'm not going to prolong on this one. He mentions four categories again, but we're going to leave that. Four different opinions of the ulama as it relates to what ascertains the most virtuous ibadah. What ascertain the most virtuous ibadah? Naam. He mentions four different opinions as to what ascertains a virtuous ibadah, but we're going to deal with the fourth one, inshallah. Okay? The fourth one, he says, قالوا إن أفضل عبادة العمل على مرضات رب في كل وقت بما هو مقتضى ذلك الوقت ووظيفته. He said that the most virtuous worship, type of worship, he said, some of the ulama have mentioned that it's doing that which Allah is pleased with. Doing that which the Rabb is pleased with in every single time. In every single time, relating to the time and the period that it's required. Now, I'm talking about the most virtuous worship. The most virtuous worship. Afdal ibadah. Afdal al-ibadah. And as we go on, you understand where I'm coming from, inshallah ta'ala. So Ibn Qayyim then says, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَالْأَفْضَلُ فِي وَقْتِ الْحُدُورُ الضَّيْفِ مَثَلًا الْقِيَامِ بِحَقِّهِ. So he said, the most virtuous worship when you have guests is by fulfilling the rights of your guests at that time. This is the most virtuous worship for you to do. Because as ibad, what we need to try and reactualize is do the best ibadah for every time. This is the meaning of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. To do the best type of worship for every time. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala says, وَالْأَفْضَلُ فِي وَقْتِ حُضُورِ الضَّيْفِ مَثَلًا الْقِيَامُ بِحَقِّي. So the most virtuous ibadah when you have guests, the most virtuous worship when you have guests is to fulfill the rights of your guest in feeding him and not being diverted from looking after that guest. Not being diverted from looking after that guest. وَالْأَفْضَلُ فِي أَوْقَاتِ السَّحَرِ. And he said, and that which is more virtuous in the night time, الاشتغال بالصلاة والقرآن والدعاء والذكر والاستغفار. He said that which is more virtuous for you to do at night, it's not walking street. It's not going walking and jaywalking, whatever they call it. Bopping. Okay? It's not that what? Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, الاشتغال بالصلاة. Busying yourself with salah in the middle of the night. And reading Quran. And making dua, and making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seeking forgiveness, and seeking forgiveness. وَأَفْضَلُ فِي أَوْقَاتِ الْعَذَانِ تَرْكُ مَا هُوَ فِيهِ مِنْ وُرُودِ الْنَعْمِ مِنْ رَدِّهِ وَالْإِشْتِغَالُ بِإِجَابَةِ الْمُؤَذِّنِ. نعم. He said that that which is more virtuous in the times of the adhan, when adhan is called, is answering the call, and not doing anything that's taking away from answering the call, ayy the adhan. And he said, وَالْأَفْضَلُ فِي أَوْقَاتِ صَلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ. And that which is more virtuous, yani worship, in the time of prayer. In the time of prayer, the five prayers is working hard. Okay? Is working hard and concentrating and getting khushu' in that salah. And getting khushu' in that salah. And he mentions, وَالْأَفْضَلُ فِي أَيَامِ عَشَرَ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ. And he mentions that which is more beneficial or virtuous, yani worship in the time of the Hijjah, is worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with takbir and tahleel, saying La ilaha illallah, and fasting a lot in order to reactualize ibadah in these blessed 10 days of the Hijjah. And he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, wa afdalu fil ashr al akhir min Ramadan, and that which is virtuous in the last 10 days of Ramadan, of ibadah, we have to concentrate on that which is more virtuous and try and do that which is more virtuous. This is إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. This is the reactualization of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. That which is more virtuous in the last 10 days of Ramadan is staying in the Masjid al-Nabawi or staying in the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, itikaf. Reading Quran, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and staying away from the people and being busy by the dunya and other things like that, and increasing in servitude of Ar-Rahman. And in Ibn Qayyim, he said, "Well, afdal fi waqti marda akhik al-Muslim." And the best type of worship and ibadah when your brother is sick is what, ikhwan? What's the best worship when your brother is sick? To visit him. Iyadatuhu wa huduru janazatihi. And if, when he dies, the best ibadah is what? Or if he dies, the best ibadah is what? Follow his what? Janazah. To follow his janazah. So Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned about 30. I've only mentioned a few. I've skipped a lot. Okay, he mentioned a lot of the virtue, the most virtuous action that one should do at that virtuous time. This is what us as worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need to pay attention to and try and make sure that in every aspect of our ibadah that we're doing the best form of ibadah, because if we're not doing the best form of ibadah, it comes from the talbis of Iblis. Because the talbis of Iblis, the misconceptions of Iblis and deception of Iblis is that he wants to turn you away from doing that which is most virtuous, that which is more pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Ibn Qayyim mentions, and this is the final part, inshallah. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that we must continue worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must continue reactualizing Iyyaka na'bud, even after death. We have to reactualize Iyyaka na'budu up until death, and even after death. Sounds strange, huh? Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, we have to reactualize ibadah during up until death from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hijr, verse number 99, وَاعْبُدُ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Worship your Lord until yaqeen, you get yaqeen. And here yaqeen, as is a consensus and ijma' of the ulama, means death. Worship your Lord up until death. And this is taken from the hadith of Uthman ibn Maz'un radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Uthman ibn Maz'un, Qadama ibn Maz'un, and the rest of the Sahaba are free from irja', unlike some people are saying. Uthman ibn Maz'un radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith said, Amma Uthman faqad ja'ahu al-yaqeen min Rabbi. When Uthman died, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith which is in Sahih Bukhari, he said, as for Uthman, when he died, Ibn Maz'un, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as for Uthman, then yaqeen has come from his Lord. And yaqeen means whatever? Death. So this is a proof that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa'budu rabbaka hatta yatiyaka al-yaqeen, that it means till death. That it means till death. So we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala up until death. As for the proof that there's ibadah after death, this is your homework. Okay? I'll tell you bijazm, na'am. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned this in his Jameel. And inshallah, we'll continue with that tomorrow, inshallah. Ibn Qayyim mentioning Iyyaka na'bud up until our death from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and then he brings a proof from the Quran. Here, I'll give you a hint. He brings a proof from the Quran to show that there is in fact ibadah after death. That there is ibadah after death. And that's for your, I don't like homework or whatever work, maktaba work, tasahuf work. And inshallah, that we leave it to that, inshallah. And then we continue tomorrow with this ending issue here regard to ibadah after death, regarding Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. And then we go on to Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim, sirata al-ladhina an'amta 'alayhim ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim wala dhalin, tomorrow in the final lesson, inshallah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak 'ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa 'ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil 'alamin.